Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I have supposed to have Andrew Brashago, the time traveler, the guest on today, but he's disappeared. I don't know whether he... Caller lines are open. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And I want to talk about activism and arguments and ego and stupidity and, basically being a knob. And a hell of a lot of activists fall into those categories. I can assure you. It happens all the time. There are crazy conspiracy theorists. There are unreasonable doctors who don't listen to logic. You know, look, human beings are complex creatures. We are walking contradictions. That's how I view myself, anyway. And just because somebody does something and you don't know why. Doesn't mean that it's your fault or that they know that what they're doing, right? So many people are just so full of themselves, really, that they blame everything on everybody else and just make stuff up, basically. Okay, there's this one woman trying to get on the show as a cannabis activist here in New Zealand. Only can come on by phone. No. And the most convenient thing she can offer me is driving 300 kilometres down the road and then back again to sit outside a frickin' courthouse with her to do an interview, as opposed to doing it on Skype and assumes that I have to that she has to buy a camera just in order to use Skype. No! Skype is audio as well, and it's chat as well. And it's so many things. And just because you don't know nothing about what you're talking about, it has no bearing on what other people are asking you. So she said to me, you told me to buy a camera just to come on your show. And it's like, well, quote me some evidence. She couldn't. And then just says, oh, I don't need your attitude. You know? Activists, man, they are damaged goods, all of them. And you can tick them off for no reason, based on pure assumption. And that's the reason why they're activists, okay? As opposed to people with a job, because they can't get along with anybody. Right? You get ticked off with scumbaggery so much that you suddenly start making up scumbaggery with every single person you're talking to, including the people who are trying to help you. You know what I'm saying? Am I the only one who notices the ridiculous, stupid, behind-the-scenes rigmarole of the truth movement, regardless of whatever truth you're talking about? There is so much crap flying back and forth like flying spaghetti monsters around up in here. I'm sick of it, man. And it's not like, you know, this is just one thing that I'm getting into or whatever. It happens to everybody. It includes every one of us, pretty much. I've been known to be a bit of a knob sometimes. And many, many people who I thought were straight up, totally onto it, cool, etc., turned out to be the exact opposite of what I originally thought. But, you know, you got to roll with the punches. And as I said, we're all complex individuals. And, it's more like, hey, do I want to help this person who's being a pain in the ass to me? Do I actually want to continue to give a crap about them when they obviously don't give a crap about anybody but themselves? And the answer is no. There's 7 billion people on this fracking planet at the moment hurtling through space. Why would I spend a minute with anybody who doesn't inspire me, respect me, or help me? Okay, you know, we're all gonna be cutting off that contact, right? with those toxic individuals in our lives. You know, it's just like, hey, you don't really care about me, do you? You're not going out of your way for me. You're not even being creative. What are we doing together? Are we helping each other advance? Are we doing anything at all? Are you just nattering at me and expecting me to listen? There's no relationship there. I'm sorry. Toxic individual who's simply an energy vampire, you're going to slip my freaking neck. Why don't you? No, thank you. I'm getting the frack out of here. I'm going to go find somebody else. Somebody who's onto it. Somebody who's cool. You know? There's a healthy response, isn't it? Conversely, in small places, and trust me, if you're a conspiracy theorist in any conspiracy research field, believe me, you're living in an artificial small town. Okay? There's a small town mentality inside it, and everybody will be angry with you if you say one thing that one person doesn't like, and they'll make up stuff. Okay? Like, you have people who are of an intellectual format, who have brains abundant, yet persist in making stuff up about their competition, as opposed to just talking to them, coming to a conclusion, and being adult about it. Okay? I don't care how old you are, how grown up you think you are, or whatever. Your actions with others and how you resolve conflicts and what have you are essentially the biggest tools that anybody can ever really have for knowing what kind of a person you are. You know, it's like how you treat others is how you are, more or less. You know, if you go out on a date with somebody and they're really rude to the waiter or something like that, you'd be guaranteed if you've got married to that person later on, they'd start being rude to you and treating you like a house slave, okay? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, don't get overly offended. Try to understand people. And if they don't want to help you understand, then just go, okay, you're not worth my time. Next! It's really easy to see the methodology here. However, putting it into practice takes a long time. Many, 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 many years of hardcore, grueling experience, being lied to, being fracked over, and being, how can I put this? Being used. All right, and we all can relate to that mentality, even in our slave job life. We get messed around, we get lied to, we get used. We get messed around, we get lied to, we get used. And people think that once you become part of the truth movement, that that element of humanity suddenly just frickin' disappears. No! Believe me, it's there stronger than Schwarzenegger. She's bench pressing even more than she ever could, man. There's so much fighting and name calling and disinformation and aggression and attacks with each other. And dig this, here's the funniest part. If I called for unity, I would be called a New World Order agent. And this has happened to me before. I think it was a bunch of people were like insulting Jane Burgermeister, and I stood up for her and I said, let's call for unity. And then Jane Burgermeister accused me of working for the New World Order because I was trying to defend her and call for unity. Oh, we're damaged goods. That doesn't mean that I'm gonna you know, rag on Jane Burgermeister. Dude, check out her frickin' website anyway. I don't care if people have been a knob to me. I don't. Believe me. You can be cruel and hateful and spiteful or whatever you want to me. Go for your life. You won't get nothing. You do it to my friends, on the other hand. Yeah, we're going to have words. And this is what loyalty is really about at the end of the day. And I think it's something many people have sadly forgotten, because it's an old concept that has long since passed its used-by date. Oh, I'm trying to be loyal. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be honourable. I'm trying to give a flying frack about the other people in my life that actually mean something to me and help me survive every single day. Oh, well, that's just blasé, mate. No, you sound too jaded. Well, what are you still giving a crap about people for? You know, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Yeah, but why don't you detach from society? Why don't you build a 6 or 8 foot fence line around the front of your home that you're top heavy on a mortgage of, so that you can keep people from looking in and interacting with you, or even being part of the community that you frickin' live in? You know, why don't you do that? Why don't you retreat inwards, and then when anybody else tries to question you or talk to you in any type of reasonable fashion, why don't you just go and bite their head off, you know? Come out and attack them. Tell them that they're scum and that they have no idea what the heck is going on and stuff like that. And tell them that you're the smartest person in the world and you've got it all figured out because you're not interacting with the rest of the world. Why don't you do that? Okay? Why don't you stop pushing yourself onto other people? Because at least that way, when you're retreating with your bitterness and your stupidity and your scumbaggery, you minimize your contact with other people who might get hurt by said scumbaggery. You know, and that's what I feel. Anybody who totally withdraws from society and doesn't want to interact with other people and is mean to them when they do is engaging in scumbaggery. Okay, that's what a scumbag does. They're cruel. They're unreasonable, they're dangerous, they're misinformed, they yell, they scream, they send pituitary vomitous emails, they swear a lot, they accuse, they insinuate, they use ad hominem attacks, this kind of thing. What are you doing, mate? What the frack are you doing? Shut the frack up! How about... Look, you want to yell? You know? I can yell louder than pretty much anybody you could ever find. So, when people want to have an argument with me, and their voice starts getting raised, I just give them a big blast and just go, mate, you know, you really don't want to start a yelling competition with me. I would prefer that we bring it down a notch. Face to face, eye to eye, heart to heart, and resolve whatever the frack is going on here. Does that sound reasonable? Does that sound cool? Now let's just take a deep breath and chill out so we can have a conversation that has an argumentative basis, but will, instead of descending into all that bitterness and Shiite Muslim, you instead are very open and honest. You ask a question, and then you wait for the answer to be completed. And then you allow the other person to ask a question of you, and then you answer as fully and completely as honestly as you can. Okay? You ever had an argument where somebody accuses you of something, and they don't even know you? You know, somebody accused me of being a communist, a libertarian, and a right winger in the same breath once. It's just, you don't know who you're talking to, mate. You're not asking questions, you're throwing out accusations. You're not going to accomplish anything. So I walked away. Okay, this is what it's all about at the end of the day. It's about listening to each other. There's nothing worse than two people sitting there who don't know each other, accusing each other of stuff that they don't know anything about, and none of all you're doing is projecting your concept of who this person is onto them, and then they reply by projecting their concept of who you are based upon your projections on them back on you. Okay? It's a circular argument. You don't get anywhere like that. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We'll be right back after the break.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And I apologise to those tuning in expecting to hear Andrew Bashago, the time traveller dude. He's kind of gone AWOL. I've got his phone number here. For the studio, hopefully they'll be able to give him a call and remind him. But you know, we'll see. He might be stuck in the horrible Seattle traffic that he dislikes so much. It's half the reason why he wants teleportation to be a publicly known and used thing, as long as it's safe, of course. You don't have to be stuck in traffic no more. I thought that was a perfectly reasonable response, you know. Now, I've got a question in the chat room. Have I ever heard of Genocide the Rapper? Well, you can search Genocide Rap and Vinnie Eastwood on Google, and you will probably come up with, I think I've done 2 to 3 interviews with my man Genocide. And there was this one time after we had him on the show, I held him over, and we did a freestyle together, and it was absolutely awful. It was so bad. I was playing that for some of my mates on the North Shore one time. They're just cracking up laughing at how awful it was, you know. But you know. I've got this concept where everybody's got like some kind of an art form or a talent or a passion or something of that nature, right? So what you do is you interact with people based on those talents, based on those passions, based on those possible collaborations that you can do with them, and sacrifice some of your time. It really is actually quite a bright idea, because my life I've found gets enriched and improved by sacrificing my time for others. It's interesting because they wind up, if they're good people, of course, come back and do things for you as well. If they're bad people, on the other hand, they don't do anything for you. And they just go, yeah, thank you for everything that you've given me. I'm going to go off and do something a lot more important now because I don't like you. But I'm more than willing to take something from you. Now, those kind of people, they're all over the place, man. Don't pretend that they're not in the truth movement. They are, okay? There's plenty of radio networks. There's plenty of radio show hosts. There's plenty of YouTubers and media in the alternative field to allow for all different types of personalities to come into the fold, essentially, from whatever particular areas that are of interest to them. And my bag about all of this is that, well, basically you have 2 choices in life. You can either live life for yourself or live life for other people, kind of thing, you know, in a self-sacrificing sense of the word. And it's funny, the more you sacrifice, actually the more you get given back. It's really quite extraordinary because the last 5 years of my life, I have given everything for the truth movement in this country and the United States and the UK, and I've had people on from Australia as well, people on from Japan and Tunisia, and, just interact, okay? Dip your toes in the water. Why don't you? What have you got to lose? As part of the cool thing about the after the show chats that we do on Skype with the listeners, we can sometimes talk for up to like 8 hours or something of that nature, just sitting back, getting to know each other. And I'm one of the few radio show hosts that does that kind of thing openly, because I believe that my listeners are my lifeblood, and without them, I'm nothing, right? I have a deep appreciation for that very thing. And if you choose to disrespect or manipulate or lie to your audience, I believe that you henceforth don't frickin' deserve to have one. The problem is, some people who are such skilled and cunning manipulators are not only good at manipulating their audience, but indeed manipulating Google rankings or manipulating website hits or whatever. So even if people found out that they were full of BS, they're so capable of overriding the public response with specific methodologies designed to increase the amount of hits, that it almost doesn't matter that somebody comes out and exposes them as a liar or a fraud or whatever, because people still keep listening. New listeners keep coming in. And this is due to the fact that, well, basically, here's my thing. I was just thinking about this over the break. You know, the only people who've ever actually dissed me before, during, or after a show or whatever in terms of guests have been guests who are either too small and they're big wannabes, or they're too big and they just lose their respect for anybody else who's smaller than them. You know, there's a point in the middle here that I want to find with people. You know, a middle ground. That'd be nice to find a middle ground, wouldn't it? So that we wouldn't have to deal with such BS all the time. Can we care about people for a change above what they mean to us? You know, I feel guilty a lot of the times when people donate things to me because I feel like I haven't earned it. And yet I've been busting 18-hour days for for like near on half a decade now. I'm only 27. It's like I've given the bulk of my working life into this field at this point. You know, it just occurs to me. And the it's so strange to me how anybody could really stop caring about others and only care about themselves. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've had too many positive experiences to be negative about it. Okay, I hear too many people, way too many people with major audiences. And their general view about the world is everybody's a moron and we're screwed and there's no hope for America or anything like that. I don't resonate with that at all. Sure, I agree that a lot of people on this world are really, really dumb. Ridiculously dumb. So stupid that they couldn't even think their way out of a paper bag. So dumb that they can't even conceivably break down a news story on their own. So dumb that they trust everything that the authorities tell them. Sure, those people exist. But there are people who do care. There are people who can think. And they're growing in number day by day. Morons may be growing too, but, you know, morons and lazy people and whatever. Do you know how much effect they have on the world around them, like how much real, actual effect they have? The thing is, they don't, okay? They stagnate, and they wind up fading into nothingness. And there's a reason for that. It's because they're not very attractive, okay? And I'm talking about attraction in a number of different ways. Like, for example, if somebody's got a great concept or has a great voice or is articulate or whatever, people will continue to listen to them. However, if they're not instilling positivity, if they're not instilling comedy, if they're not instilling evolution, revolution, resolution, and all these good things, then they're leading you down a path, and you don't know where that path is at all, okay? You got to reach a conclusion. Do you love the people around you? Do you love your family, love your friends, and whatever? Okay, cool. Yes, yes, that's an obvious one. Do you want to see them exterminated? No. Okay, that's a good one. Then what are you trying to accomplish by insulting them? I mean, you know? Has anybody really, really thought about this? Have you ever called somebody a sheeple or a slave? I have. Try not to do it quite so much lately because it's disrespectful. I was once a slave. I was once a sheeple. I woke up. You can too. That's the way I look at it now. You know, slavery is a state of mind as well as a state of being. I can be sitting here doing all of this and exposing scumbaggery and helping people through with their trauma, dealing with the fact of just being a conspiracy theorist and knowing about conspiracies at all is a traumatic thing to endure. I don't think people quite get that. You don't want to be judgmental of people, okay? You need to be accepting rather. Okay, you just go, okay, I accept that you've got this and this going on. And in a lot of cases, you can sit back and just talk to somebody at length and ask them questions, openly listen for the answers, and get some real understanding of who it is you're really dealing with here. Okay? And 90% of the time when I've actually taken the time to sit down and try to talk with somebody, they start, no matter how much of a douchebag they've been acting, they wind up making a lot more sense to me, and I wind up accepting them for who and what they are because I now have more information to bring into the bear because I didn't make assumptions, because I didn't make any prejudicial statements and things like that. That said, discernment's very important, especially if you don't want to be wasting your time with people, okay? Because you'll have people who come at you with, all bold caps and with an anonymous name who start off instantly, and it becomes very clear that they haven't watched the video or listened to the radio show or anything like that. Just totally wrong in every single thing that they're saying. You can choose whether or not you want to interact with that person, okay? And in most cases, I'll just go delete, block, whatever, because the more thoughts you entertain, the more it melds into your mind. So if you are sitting back and taking in all this abuse, death threats, aggression, demonization, and you're getting real sore and upset about it, understand that whatever you put in front of yourself in terms of information or whatever has a real residual effect on the mind, okay? It attacks every fiber of your being if it's a negative thought or processy, you know? If you, on the other hand, are thinking positive, let's be clear here, we're not talking about being hairy-fairy and ignoring all facts and information and just going, oh, no, everything's going to be fine, they're going to be... Da-da-da-da. Okay, all right, you have douchebags who just kind of like switch off, they don't want to listen, you know, it's like, oh, well, I can't be bothered listening to this because it's all tripe, it's like I'm being preached to, it's a sermon or whatever. But the person has no idea what I'm talking about, clearly, okay, has no idea of the context, ain't willing to research into it, good riddance, go away. you're not injecting anything that's worthwhile, bro. Okay? I'm not trying to, you know, be cruel here or something, but my goodness, with it's like with disciplining children, for instance. If you let a child get away with something, they keep doing it until they don't get away with it. Okay? Same with a psychopath. They'll keep committing acts of demonstrable scumbaggery and keep getting away with it until such a time as somebody takes them out, okay, into the yard or whatever, in a prison, and then they'll suddenly start thinking to themselves, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have been such an evil scumbag in the first place. Mm. And children, on the other hand, kind of operate under an innocence thing. And innocence means, in my opinion, that you'll do anything you want until such a time as you recollect that it actually affects other people. And if it affects you as well, it depends upon the consequences you suffer. Okay? I used to look after autistic boys who would bite, who would scratch and stuff like that. After a week of me, he wasn't biting, he wasn't scratching no more, because every time he did that, I'd take his ball away from him. I'd take his stand and, you know, and nobody cared about these kids enough to actually treat them like a kid who needed some simple discipline. And I'm coming to the point where so many people in our society haven't freaking grown up yet. And you've got to discipline them like an adult would a child. You know, that's how far we've fallen. But it doesn't mean that you should stop trying to teach the child just because they haven't learned already. We'll be right back after the break at thefinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Call-in lines are open, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We're going to go to our first caller now in a 507 area code. Welcome to the show. What's your first name and what state are you calling from?
Hey, Vinnie, I'm calling from Minnesota, and my name is Rob.
What's on your mind today, Rob?
Well, I've got a timely message for you here.
Boo!
I thought I'd try that. I didn't know if it would work or not, but what the heck, you know? It's Halloween, and so we're waiting for the goblins to start showing up. The sun is going down, and they'll be out and about here shortly. So, but I thought I'd call in and add to your glossary a word that I've been using for a while here, and I haven't heard you mention it, but I listened to you quite a bit, but I haven't missed an episode, so I can't say that you haven't used it. So my word is stuplicity.
Like stupid simplicity?
Well, it's kind of complicit in a stupid manner. I guess, you know, it's a multitude of people being stupid together, and I don't know, I seem to see it quite a bit, so it's... Yeah.
Well, that's called multi-stuplicity.
Multi-stuplicity. Well, okay, you can still add it to your glossary. I just kind of simplified it there. I do appreciate your play with linguistics. A long time ago, I coined the phrase cluster euphoria, which was being stuck in the elevator with Paula Poroskova, or possibly your cousin there. So, but a lot of people don't understand my sense of humor, and so I thought maybe you'd give it a go. So.
Well, you know, I think if people don't understand your sense of humor, it means that probably it's still evolving somewhat. When I was a kid, Rob, you wouldn't believe the amount of jokes I was telling all the time and how many times I would be ostracized for doing so. basically, because I didn't have any concept of what was funny. I believe I still don't. To a large degree, I'm just so many lame jokes coming out of my head. It's just not funny. But what I like about you is that you're willing to actually just do it anyway, regardless of whether or not somebody gets it. And that in itself, let's take that concept right there. I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm just going to try it, right? That's something that I believe humanity would really truly benefit on in a lot of ways. You know, I don't like my job and I'm going to quit. I don't know when I quit what's going to happen, but I'm just going to quit anyway. You know, I don't know how much confidence it would take to quit a job in that sense of the word. You know, I didn't do it because I wanted to quit per se. I did it because I just couldn't work anymore. You know what I mean? Couldn't work in a regular industry.
I'm kind of in a reverse thing here, and I'm going to reveal to you here that I'm an overgrown kid. I'm approaching that 60 age, and I'd never had a real job in my life. I'd always managed to just go from one job to the next, in that I would go out and find them on my own. And I was a handyman, carpenter, fix anything. I'd buy projects and fix them up and hopefully make a little bit of money selling them. And so I was kind of living a life that I didn't discover this until I didn't discover all these different genres in the truther movement until I actually had a real job, the first one in my life, which I was into my 50s when I got it, and I went with the employment agency that I refer to as Manflogger, and it's a slight variance on that. And so I started with the college-age kids, was making the same kind of money that they did. And when they went back to school, I stuck it out a little bit longer and got hired on. Didn't get a raise. And so here I am. And basically, what I'm working for, is just that they do carry all the stuff that we're supposed to buy on our own, and stuff that I did buy on my own, but before when I was self-employed. Or self-employed, when I didn't feel like working, but you still have to pay the bills. So, but I'm going into stuff I didn't really mean to call on this. The reason I kind of wanted to call was because you're going off on what people think about. People who are kind of self-righteous and, have this opinion and that everybody should follow their opinion. And I was the youngest of four boys, and I was expected to be the malleable one, the one that would, follow the lead of all the others. And so I've got a big, big brother concept or conflict. And, it's with me to this day, and it's something I still struggle with, and,
I can relate to that, Rob. I'm the youngest of five.
Okay. So you do get it.
There was an interesting family study that was done here in New Zealand, I think it was done last year, and they compared youngest to middle child to eldest. And the concept works like this. The eldest child will normally take a responsible role, okay? So they will protect others. They will have a disciplined career choice. So they'll become doctors, lawyers, or counselors, rather people that are high achievers, right? The people who control society are generally eldest child in a lot of cases. The middle child instead of being the eldest having responsibility for the two youngest, the middle child takes a negotiation role from between the youngest and the eldest, and including themselves and the parents, and they will normally become counselors or psychologists or things of that nature, where they use mediation skills in order to sway people. Youngest, on the other hand, being the one who is the generally not listened to quite as much, and is often being seen as below or smaller than the two previous siblings, as I mentioned, will often go into things like the entertainment industry newscasting, journalism, things like that, where their voices can now be heard. So, and you take my family, for instance, my eldest brother, Ben, is the second eldest. He's a chiropractor. My eldest sister, Janine, is speaks like five languages and sells computer software to major companies, you know, that kind of thing. And my other two sisters, Marcia and Cherie, Cherie's kind of stay at home, and she did a whole lot of things like running restaurants and hotels and what have you, looking after other people and getting them what they need, as a middle child would. And my sister Marcia is really into horses and looking after children as well. So the concept works very, very succinctly like that, doesn't it? And I was thinking about this as well. What kind of a consequence does that have if you don't have three plus children in a family? What kind of career restrictions do you put upon children by having an only child? I was wondering that myself just yesterday.
Well, one thing I started when I was I bought my first home when I was 21 years old, and I still live in it today. I rented it out. I had roommates, and I have had other rental properties, and I always rented to students. And the thing I got very, very good at, now I never, ever, ever used a lease, and I would have all of these scumbaggery all around me that would tell me that they had this absolute ironclad, couldn't be deferred from, you know, sealed in concrete, couldn't get out of lease that no one could ever break. And I just said, well, why would you want to deal with somebody that didn't want to live in your place? And I always had the concept, I would just tell people when they rented from me that if you don't want to be here, I don't want you here. If I expect you, this is my house, but I'd like to see you make it your home. If you're going to do damage here, I'm going to get rid of you. Well, we're going to a break. You want me to hold, or are we done?
I want to thank you for your call, Robert, and it's like I was saying just before on the previous segments, is that if you've got toxic people in your life, it's like having toxins in your body. Get them out as quickly as you can, so they don't cripple and destroy you, you know? We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few minutes. 218-339-8525. Rob in Minnesota, thank you very much for your call. You can also join us in the chat room, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And if you would be keen to join us in a Skype chat after the show, you can always do that too. So we'll be right back. Just a few minutes. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And I apologize for the loose format of today's show. I just kind of in a bit of a ranting mood, you know. It sometimes happens. call in line is open, 218-339-8525. Really love to hear from you. If you've got comments about douchebags or growing up or being a slave or anything of that nature, and you want to just, you know, freaking talk about it, just take the leap and just go, what, who cares, whatever. I'm just going to call up, talk about it flippantly if necessary. I don't care. I'm just going to do something. And my perspective is you've got to do something, regardless of what that something is, seriously. And this applies to everything in your life, okay? You can see a part of your house or something that you can fix, but instead you choose to put it off for a very, very, very long time, and it never gets fixed. It's like that with your life, I believe, because life is like that. There are a million problems that we're suffering under at pretty much all freaking times. And we choose not to fix it because it's too hard to think about all the different things that we'd have to change. And I'd have to give up this, I'd have to give up that, and I'd have to do this and do that. You know, it's regardless of whatever concept you're talking about. Okay? Like, I've got mates who, you know, are incredible commentators. You know? But they refuse to take responsibility for the commentary. And let me define what I mean by that. If you've got a talent, okay, I believe it's your responsibility to share that talent with the world. And if people offer you the opportunity to share that talent with the world, then you're not taking responsibility and you're being a very naughty boy, in other words, by not putting it out there for people to absorb, because it's just so important what you're talking about. And even if people don't get it, even if people will switch off or whatever, it still bears talking about and airing, because people will never get it unless they've heard it many, many, many times from a number of different sources. And if you're the one who is the information source, then the onus is on you. The responsibility and indeed the glory even is on you if you do choose to step up. Speaking of which, caller on the line, the Greek, welcome to the show.
Hey, Vinny. I just thought about some paradoxes and I was figuring I'd bring it up on the air with you. How's it going?
One of those days, you know, when things don't go quite the way you hoped they would, but you don't die, you just keep on living and having to deal with the pain.
Oh, it can't be that bad, and that's a great way to start. You know, when you've eaten something that's made your stomach ill, and you attribute it to what you've just eaten, it's pretty easy to attribute that. Well, I felt good, I ate something, now I feel bad. It must be what I've eaten, right?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how society is. Earth society right now, they've taken these poison pills and willingly, and now they're just basically suffering the effects. And the body is basically led by the mind. So what a better way to inflict such a malady other than going through the mind? And that's why I mentioned paradoxes. I believe the people's minds have been paralyzed with useless paradoxes. Like, for example, what came first, the chicken or the egg? No one knows, and I hear everyone saying that, as if it's an accepted paradox. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Obviously, the egg came first. You've got other things all over. I mean, you have sayings and cliches. Those who hold the gold make those who have the gold make the laws. Untrue, because you can pass strict laws that are enforced that prevent that from happening. You've got
but it'll probably be the ones holding the goals that actually pass those laws and come up with it in the first place. have you noticed everything kind of is the direct opposite to what we currently believe it is?
Yes. Have you heard the saying that someone is a presumed a fool until they open their mouth, and then they've actually proved it?
Yep.
And it has to do with. Yeah, okay, well, why do you think they pass freedom of speech laws that everyone can say whatever they say when they want to say it? what a better way to discern the level of competency of a society. If everyone kept their mouth shut and thought 10 times before they said something and measured it carefully, do you think we'd be in the position we're in now? Do you think you'd have disinformation agents going out there and COINTELPRO, or what do they call counterintelligence and all this stuff? Would that have any effectiveness?
I think the world would have like three radio show hosts, Greg.
Well, it wouldn't be because of, it would probably be the best you can do. That's why, right?
Oh, yeah, and I've got this this idea. It's like nothing's perfect, right? And you can't start off perfect. It takes a long, long time. And aside from that, I don't think perfection is even possible. So to even strive for it is in a way a fool's errand, but at the same time a noble effort, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, let's say you have 10 people in a room sitting around talking and they all agree that it would be a good idea to walk to the North Pole. Do you know that the first one to get off of the couch and take 5 steps towards the door is the one closest to that, even though it's still an arduous journey that probably may not take place? It's still well worth doing. And statistically, scientifically, and in every way measurable, that person who just got off the couch and just took 5 steps towards the door is closest to the trip, isn't he?
Well, you know, the journey with 1,000 miles begins with 1 step, as the Chinese say.
Oh, thank you. I was hoping you were going to say that. Thank you. That's what makes you so good. Well, so you're being able to follow along.
It's the concept of stepping the frack out the door. You know, do you have any idea, bro, how many people have offered to help me over the last couple of years with the radio show or with anything, and have done nothing. Absolutely nothing. That they are innumerable. The people who didn't ask if they could help or anything of that way, who just helped, just took the step without even telling me about it, and you know how many of those people have actually helped me? Every single one of them. You know, here's the clear definition between simply taking a step and talking about taking the step. The person who talks about taking the step never gets their ass off the couch in general.
And the first step was actually getting the show. And that one who did that was the best help of all.
So with you and all your life experiences, you know, when you were a lad, did you have any idea what you actually wanted to be?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can be anyone else other than who I am, but in terms of vocation, I just want to play. And playing can be rough.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I mean, here's a little bit of history. When I was very young, I asked adults around me, what's truth? And I always got in trouble for asking that. And they said, don't ever ask that again. And the decision was made right there.
Yeah.
I realized at a young age that if you ask a simple question about a simple thing and you're not supposed to talk about it, it might be worthwhile looking into that as a lifelong endeavor.
There's a ripple effect, have you noticed? Somebody can say one thing to you and it'll change your entire life and down the track, and you could point back to one incident. Like, I think it was the first time I ever heard the possibility that 9/11 was an inside job was in like 2002, I think. A friend of mine who my mum had gotten to come over to the house as a mentor, you know, because I had no real father figure around, and I was violent in school and all of this sort of stuff. And so my mum got this guy, Derek, who's a lavender farmer, with a truck to come around, teach me how to drive, just hang out, bash the bush back with some tools and what have you. You know, just kind of having a positive male role model around. And he was the one who told me that 9/11 might be an inside job with the economic implications of how crap the U.S. economy was at the time and all the financial records getting destroyed. And it wasn't until maybe 2004 that I saw a documentary called The Truth and Lies of 9/11 that one of my flatmates showed me. And we were sitting there just laughing at this, not because we thought the information was stupid, but because we were marveling at how easily exposable all of this was, and the huge amounts of connections to all of these players involved, the Bush crime family and all of that, that we couldn't help but laugh our asses off. Have you noticed that the best jokes
yep.
are the ones that take a moment for the penny to drop?
But the thing is, what makes it a joking matter or not is that I find that what everyone says changes me. Because, again, the journey of a thousand steps, not all steps will be as sound as you'd like them to be. So I listen to everyone. And very often, even the ones that show us things that we never thought of before, we have to go out and validate them using discernment and judgment.
Ever notice how nobody can wake you up? They can actually only give you the impression that it's time to wake myself up by going and watching documentaries and talking to people and doing research and doing experiments and stuff like that. Nobody can actually wake you up. You have to do it yourself. That's what personal responsibility is really all about. And it's, you know, in many
ways. Well, you're waking up. There's many phases to waking up. There's waking up from waking up. I'm waiting for those that are waking up to really wake up. An example would be if you get poked with a stick before the sun rises and get out of bed, you'll get up. But knowing myself, unless I have a cup of coffee and a shower, let's say, I'm not really ready to go. And right now, the waking up that's taking place is not the waking up that is necessary to get the job done. But nonetheless, you're waking up. So there's different...
Here's a concept for you. You use the waking up analogy. You wake up in the morning, what's the next thing you do? You go for a piss, don't you? You know, you get the digested stuff out of your system. What do you do after that? You got to have your coffee, so something to stimulate you. You got to have your breakfast, something to continuously fuel you through your next meal. And you've got to have a shower. You've got to clean yourself up. You've got to get dressed. You've got to be presentable. You've got to get out the door, and you've got to go to work. Okay, and the analogy works for waking up, I believe, as much as it does in anybody's normal daily routine. Okay, so you've woken up. So what? Have you even so much as gotten out of bed yet? Or are you just lying there listening to your alarm clock go off, refusing to get out of bed?
Exactly. Yeah. And the big picture is to know where you are, because at the end of the day, you're going to go back to sleep into dreamland, and when you're asleep, you don't know what's going on. And so this continues. But what's fortunate about where we are now, after this waking, there'll be another sleeping point, very short, a little nap, and then there'll be an awakening. That's what's so wonderful about this time period from a very big perspective. And I don't mean this year or next year or even a decade from now, but that is the wonderful aspect of existence, is having some insight into these things. But
What if it's not an awakening that we're actually really asking for? We're asking for a get-up-ening.
Here's the thing. When you wake up, you go about your life, and typically it's some form of stewardship. Most people call it a job. Whether you're building, work in a car factory, or sweeping streets, or pushing paper with pencils in a suit all day, you're stewarding something. You're producing something, or a necessary part of things to function. And that's what's going to happen after the awakening and after many aspects of it. We're going to go back to being the stewards that we're intended to be.
What do you reckon stops people from awakening? In the first
place? It's just you haven't had enough sleep yet. It's a great metaphor, isn't it? Because it's so simple.
Well, you know,
you're just tired.
a friend of mine's like 50-something now, and he said to me, you know, Vinny, I've only actually really learned about the New World Order and the conspiracy in the last year or two. And I said, well, bro, that's because you have to live through decades of the New World Order being set up before you realize there's even a machine there building anything. And by then...
Well, there's the New World Order, and then there's the New World Order, and then there's the New World Order. I mean, there's so many layers of it. It's like an onion. And the more you look into it, it's a body of knowledge that brings tears to your eyes.
It's got more layers than a battery chicken farm, I think. In terms of hens, you know, layers, they lay eggs. My real concern, though, is not whether or not everybody wakes up. And so many people are saying, oh, we need the numbers, we need the masses, and this. No, you freaking don't. You need a couple of people, tops, relative to the rest, a handful. And that's all that history has ever really proven, is that it's a handful of people working the gears. All we've got to do is get our hands on the gears and start working them for the betterment of humanity rather than its enslavement. And Greg, I want to thank you for your call. And it's on the points we agree that we should come together and collaborate. Those points that we disagree upon, we can probably just leave those for another time, you know, perhaps a time when we're not being chemtrail fluoridated, irradiated, and SWAT teamed and drone strike and invaded without any just cause, or being taxed without any such law. You know, all of these things have to go before I'll start arguing with you as a truther, or me as a truther, or getting egotistical about it. Because as far as I'm concerned, regardless of how egotistical or how awesome I am or whatever, I wouldn't be able to stop somebody in a black ski mask with an M4 to shooting me down in my own home and or dragging me off to a fame camp. Physically, I wouldn't be able to do it. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
I was toting my pack along the
Welcome
dusty
back.
When a muck arose.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's Halloween, I think, at the moment. Has anybody ever been bobbing for apples? You know what that's based on? I've got a caller here who's been hanging on for a couple of minutes. I'll come to you in a second, but I just want to explain this real quick. If you go bobbing for apples, this is what the ancient tradition was around, you know, Stonehenge and way back in the day with Druids and pagans and stuff like that. They would pick out like a bunch of people that they would be willing human sacrifices that they would like burn or kill or whatever, and they'd give them a choice. You can either be sacrificed here and die, definitely, or you can bob for apples in a cauldron of boiling water, which means if you manage to get an apple, you will live, but your entire face will be basically burnt off by the boiling water. That's bobbing for apples. Makes you think something a little bit different about how nice and friendly Halloween is and how gorgeous and cute your little children look when they're dressed up as ghouls and goblins and ghosts. Chris in Florida, you're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny. How you doing? Happy Halloween. On that note, yeah. This is Chris. Also to piggyback on that, they'd go around door to door to, I guess, the noblemen in the area, and they'd say, trick or treat. And if they didn't send out one of their people, you know, in the house, one of their servants, for the sacrifice, I think they'd leave the jack-o'-lantern with human fat or something inside of it, and you know, that was the trick of the treat. And then they'd send out the servants. They were afraid of getting a curse put on them, and and they'd march them off, and they'd give them one last respite to take a chance at that apple bobbing. And if they won, they were horribly disfigured. And imagine, you know, trying to do that. And I think they only got one chance.
Yeah. Imagine the fear and the terror that would be going through your mind that would even make you want to dip your face into boiling water. You know?
With your hands tied behind your back.
With your hands tied behind your back. It's total torture, and we do this as if it's fun.
as if it's a as if it's a nice, beautiful tradition. Ha ha ha! He can't get the apple, dude.
Exactly.
I also noticed. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, Chris, about the difference between Halloween in America and Halloween in New Zealand. In New Zealand, you might see a few Halloween decorations. Maybe on, like, you'll drive through an entire neighborhood, you'll see maybe one or two houses in an entire neighborhood that'll actually have some kind of Halloween decorations. Maybe a kid or two. Maybe a small group of them with a parent or something like that, wandering around, knocking on doors. But very, very lax, and not quite so many Halloween parties really at all. I don't know what it is. You see this on TV, and I'm not sure how what the reality is on the ground on American TV shows and things of that nature with kids in droves. Like the whole street's literally kind of crowded with decorations and kids in costumes and everybody's got candy and blah 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 sort of thing like it's out of control, like it's some kind of big Mexican fiesta out there.
Well, I guess my take on it, Vinny, would be that they strategically released the Avengers movie, the Batman movie, and you know, all the superhero movies. You know, right before Halloween came out, and I remember being a little kid, and actually, we shouldn't use the word kid, because, you know, we're children, little children, and, you know, when you're a child, you want to dress up as your favorite superhero, you know, even when it's not Halloween, or you want to put a cape on and run around. At least I did. That was my experience growing up, and kids, like, you know, they imprint on Spider-Man and, you know, their different, you know, cartoon heroes. And when that Halloween came around, I remember that was a big deal. But perhaps, I don't know, maybe people are getting more aware of what the actual holiday stands for. But I think you said you were frustrated earlier today in your ranting. I think I always have a bad habit of missing the first half of the show. I gotta set an alarm or something. But I totally get that, because especially right now in America, what we got going on, and I wanted to get your take on it, was with all the with the election going on and everything, and people going back and forth on Facebook with I have friends on the Romney side and friends on the Obama side, and I'm on neither side, and both of them want me to weigh in, and, you know, it's just so frustrating because I don't know where to start to get into the whole thing. I tried to explain that he is the United States corporation versus the country that is America, and, you know, there's an American sovereign versus a United States citizen, and it's just lost upon so many people. And, you know, I try to build this foundation to kind of, you know, explain all that and why. And they still ask me, so are you voting for Romney? Or does that mean, you know, you're unhappy with Obama? And it's just like, you know.
There's so many distractions around elections. And by chance, are there any major sporting events and stuff like that taking place at the moment in America?
Are there?
I don't know. I don't follow sports at all, but when we have our New Zealand elections, they usually try to call them right around rugby season, when everybody's focused on the rugby and not their politics.
We did just have the World Series with the baseball, you know, the American pastime, the Masonic baseball, the way that it's set up, you know, the diamond and everything, and the bases, and, you know, the whole way that it's played. And, we did just have that. And I guess the NBA is gearing up now. I saw a magazine cover of Sports Illustrated here. And
hold on. Let's just stop there. Let's take that into account. So, at the time of the U.S. election, you have the NBA starting up, World Series baseball winding down. You have
right.
Halloween, daylight savings time, and a huge freaking hurricane.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who thinks that the election is going to have a pretty freaking poor turnout because of a huge, huge quantity of distractions here? How much of this is accidental?
Well, Vinny, I heard a local mainline kind of, I guess you'd call it a mainline Republican news station. I just flipped on the AM when I was driving, and the guy was saying, oh, I saw this Jesse Ventura Harp special, and, you know, it's good fun to watch sci-fi every once in a while. And, you know, there are these people that say that Obama, you know, he has a hurricane or a weather-modifying machine, and he's created this perfect storm to, you know, distract the election. And, you know, I felt like calling in, but, you know, it's like, a waste of time with people like that, too. But at the same time, it's like, you know, weather weapons are real. And it's just that it'll be kind of hard. You'd be hard-pressed probably to call in and prove that, you know, perhaps they used HARP. But you could maybe present them with the copyrights or the treaties that they had with Russia, America and Russia, I believe. That they wouldn't use weather weapons against each other. And I think there were some other documents that stated that they could strengthen and weaken hurricanes, and whoever controlled the weather of the world controlled the world, basically. So I don't think it's far-fetched. But the way that it's handled on a mainstream type of a show is it's very dismissed, you know, they treat it very, you know, it's ridiculed almost.
Like it's a joke, like it ain't going on, like anybody who believes in it is a tinfoil hat-wearing, super strain marijuana-growing, tinkering with fertilizer bombs in his basement, explosives manufacturing, plutonium hoarding, terrorist, crazy person, right? Some kind of a kook. And it's fun to actually come up with a real strange and far-out concepts like that, because when they do that, based upon the evidence that people like us submit about these real programs that are even stated and admitted fact that they exist in real government documents, they have to make up something even crazier than the truth and say that we're the ones who came up with it. Isn't that funny?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I grew up with these people. For an example, Vinny, I was probably 13, 14, and I was at a country club. I'm not going to say the name because actually I don't remember the proper name. And I'm sitting there, and my aunt tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, look over in the corner. She said, look at that guy sitting all by himself reading the book. She goes, you know, I hate to say it, but he's kind of dorky looking. And I looked over, it was Bill Gates. And
of course it was.
And he was sitting all by himself reading a book. And at the time, you know, I was 14. I didn't know his father started Planned Parenthood. I would have had a whole slew of questions to ask him. I had other relatives that unfortunately gave us Newt Gingrichs. They helped support his push to when he was actually, I think, still a liberal, supposedly. I had the Bush family over at another, I'm going to use the word friend's house when I was a lot younger, and I didn't know a lot of this stuff that, you know, God, I wish I did at the time, and I could have approached them. Later on, I went to a book signing, and I was able to approach a few of these people and kind of call them out on the carpet, but this was before We Are Change and, you know, the different kind of YouTube stuff, and I didn't have the phone where, you know, it was so easy to kind of push the record button. It was very obvious if you were doing it. And, you know, I'd hit them up with the New World Order questions, and, you know, they'd just freeze like deer in headlights, or they'd, you know, shake it off, or they, you know, they'd look at me like I had, you know, two heads. And, you know, so now I try to be a lot more proactive and,
you know, if there's ever an opportunity. A lot of times you can catch them at book signings. I've got a lot of people, you know, by just getting their phone numbers, you can contact them. And, you know, just get out there and confront them, you know, and ask them the hard questions. And, I mean, I'm sure you know. And I know for a fact you know. And you're really good at it. And, I mean, what would your advice be to people who wanted to get more involved, you know, like boots on the ground involved, not in a, you know, bad way, you know what I'm saying, in a way that would be like civil and just, you know, direct?
Well, firstly, you're dealing with people who are dangerous, for lack of a better word. So, how do you approach somebody who's dangerous? Well, think about a police officer. Would you agree that a police officer just talking to you is actually a dangerous activity? Because they're always making stuff up. They're always setting people up for no good reason, right? So what do you do to protect yourself from that? Recording device. Even if it's really obvious, right there in their face. If you're asking a question in front of them, facial reactions, darting movements of the eyes. You can just Google up security training, and the Israelis have used this to great effect in their airports to spot terrorists without even so much as a search or a naked body scanner or anything like that. They pinpoint terrorists based upon their physical twitches and what they're looking like and what they're acting like. Just got him. He's got all the hallmarks. You can Google this up. You can have a look at all of these. So you go in, you ask them a question that they're probably not going to want to answer. And then if they do try to answer you in full, you're recording it. If they don't, on the other hand, and they try to dismiss you, they'll have all of these unconscious physical reactions to the question that you're asking them that will give them away. And you'll only be able to show people that if you've got it recorded. Right?
Right.
And
right on.
Also, if you're going into them aggressively, okay, like, frack you New World Order scum, etc., they're not going to want to talk to you, right?
That was real nice.
If you're dressed in an army jacket and you've got badges on that say climate change is BS or whatever, they're not going to want to talk to you. However, if you dress up in a suit and a tie and attempt to put on the persona of your friendly neighborhood douchebag reporter, they don't suspect you when you're approaching them. And that's when you can catch them by surprise. It's like infiltration in a way. And I've done this myself many times, infiltrated into higher level events, ambushed people like our former Prime Minister, Helen Clark, who's now number three at the UN, and ask her about all this stuff. You can do it. Just be respectful, be honest, and try to be not too leading with your questions. Just ask them open, general things about how they really think. And ultimately, have fun and experiment and try different things. Because there's many scumbags and many book signings, and you can't put it all down to one methodology, but the most important thing is record it and frickin' upload it. We'll be right back.
Bonker.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people think I'm thrilled, but I'm living my life for free.
Listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Caller lines are open, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525 if you'd wish to call
in, and Chris still appears to be on the line there. Welcome back, bro. But I wanted to talk about the US election and how freaking irrelevant it is. Really? Isn't it? I mean, who cares? The outcome of the World Series has more to do with the outset of American history than the presidency, I say. You know? This is just another stage show. They fronted. It's like Presidential Idol or something like that, except there ain't no Simon Cowell guy saying there, and he goes, "You shouldn't even be a manager at Subway. You freaking talentless twat. Get out of there. Stop wasting more freaking time, eh? All right. Take the number off your chest, rescind your voting papers, and get out of this freaking studio, okay? You just ain't presidential material, mate. I have tutored many presidents in my time with my Freemasonic upbringing, and you just don't make the grade. I'm sorry. You ain't going to get your super pack. I mean, look, the only pack you're going to get is a freaking pack of cigarettes to help with your freaking depression of being such a useless freaking douchebag, isn't it? That's what I'm talking about. This is how the presidential election should be run. It should be run by people who hate the presidents, who think that they're scum, and don't ask them questions, allowing them to lie to people. Instead, they simply criticize them, tell them that they're a douchebag, and they should shut the frack up and get the frack out of here. You know, this is the appropriate response. I feel in opposition with the current paradigm. Now, there's a place for real, meaningful, and open and honest debate. And none of those two main presidential candidates belong at that table, I believe. They are a joke. And when they walk out into the street, the appropriate response is not to rush up to them and go, "Oh, I love you, I'm going to vote for you," and stuff like that. The appropriate response is to point at them and go, "That guy's so retarded. He thinks he'll actually control something by being the president of the United States and the prime minister of New Zealand or something like that. What a useless, pathetic douchebag who's completely got his head in the clouds. He's probably going to get assassinated if he tries to do anything right." That's the appropriate response. These people are a freaking joke everywhere they go, you know? I mean, hire groups of bloodthirsty children if necessary. Get them to attack and aggress and point fingers at and cackle at these useless pieces of trash wandering around with their swagger. They are pathetic. And also, they're the same guy. They're the same freaking guy. Look, Obama, right, comes out of freaking nowhere, CIA background, tutored by, like, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger type crowd, and won't even release his birth certificate, won't even release his college records. Even Donald Trump came out and said, "Bro, if you release just your college records or something like that, I'll give $5 million to a charity of your choice." Think he's received those things, that a $5 million check from Donald Trump, which would not bounce, go to a charity? No, not on your net. Okay. It's a scumbag. Okay? A dishonest, deceitful scumbag. So naturally, he's presidential material. Then you have a look at Romney. Goes over to Israel. Says, "Oh, well, Israel's great and blah, blah, blah. We need to go to war with Iran." Okay. He's a scumbag working for the military-industrial complex. So you've got two scumbags working for the military-industrial complex being funded by the freaking same banking cartel that's been destroying the United States since the institution of the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, since the last time they manipulated a Woodrow Wilson president to sign away the freaking sovereignty of the United States. And those are your choices! And they don't talk about the Green Party. They don't talk about the Justice Party. They don't talk about the Constitution Party. Do they? There ain't no third party. There are third parties, which nobody even bothers to talk about in any way, shape, or form, do they? And I was astounded, absolutely astounded, to learn that there was only one ever third party debate in United States history, and it happened like a week ago. The first ever third party debate
In how many hundred year old frickin' history? Are you kidding me, bro? Is there any more evidence that you need that the media and the politicians and the evil scumbaggery corporations are working together to silence the competition? To say, hey, look, bro, I know you've got correct concepts. I know that you can actually solve the problems of America. I know that you actually care about the American way of life. So, in an effort to support you, we're going to ignore you in your entirety and never in any way, shape, or form discuss anything that you're talking about. There were no major TV networks that were broadcasting that third-party debate. It was hosted by Larry Fracking King. And it still wasn't even televised. You could catch it online if you wanted. RT was doing it. But not the corporate-controlled media. Not the absolutely filthy, deadly, scumbaggery pit of vipers that lay on your information for you. Is it any surprise that America is the most entertained and least informed country on earth? There really is no place at the table for these people who are talking about real constitutional issues and attempting to destroy the apparatus and implementation of the New World Order agenda and Agenda 21. And all of these other different programs, which have been admitted fact for goodness knows how long, and people still ain't getting it. Voter turnout is like nothing. You know, and no wonder. People think there's only two parties to vote for, and both of them suck balls. They're the worst pieces of vile, deceptive, trashy, uncaring, corrupt, financially distraught, indebting fracks that the place could even come up with. It's like somebody was sitting there with a cauldron and cooking up some kind of vile potion. You know, get a leg of Romney, get a scalp of Obama, an eye of Newt, going rich, a toenail of Bernanke, and hey presto, you know, we've got ourselves a new presidential formula for you. And they keep coming up with all of these stupid things that don't mean anything. If you're a truther and you know what the truth is, watching any presidential debate is like having electrodes on your nipples. It's that painful, that frustrating, that angering to listen to. People don't care, you know, like the debate about women. They don't mention that feminism was financed by the Rockefeller Foundation so that now every single woman doesn't really have a choice about whether or not to stay home with her kids, so you destroy the family unit, and now you've also got two frickin' incomes to tax, so you can lower the value of people's wages, so not only can you not raise your kids, you can't even afford them anymore, so you stop having them. That's what feminism actually was. And the presidents come out and say, oh, we support women going into the workforce and everything. Dude, I would support raising wages so that maybe one parent could support a household. I would support ceasing all IRS and CIA activity. I would cease the Federal Reserve. These are the things that are holding women and men and children and foreigners and domestics. This is the boot that is holding us all down. It's variously eclectic, and it has gotten to the point where enough is enough. I'm not going to deal with it anymore. Shut up, Obama. Shut up, Romney. You're not talking sense. You're just making it up off the top of your cauldron manufactured dome. And you're being spun by the media as some kind of a frickin' savior. The fact of the matter is, when Obama was elected, he didn't save you. He enslaved you even further than any other president throughout history. He, in his first year, he got the country into more debt than all previous presidents from Washington to Bush combined in a year. This is not your savior. This is your destroyer. But he's going to save you from the hurricane, so vote for him and re-elect him because he will save you again this time. You know, I'm sure he won't be lying this time. Wake up! Stop buying into it! These people are manipulating you. These people are lying to you. And they will continue to do so for as long as you let them. I'm going to let them manipulate me anymore. They probably are, but, you know, I'm going to make an effort at least. I am going to wake up. I am going to get out. I am going to step out that frickin' door. I am going to point a megaphone at the traffic and go, "Gareth,